Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It is a celebration, just an opportunity to honor. We had dinner last night with my daughters-in-laws, my son-in-laws, parents. They're from Ukraine, and we had an amazing dinner. And I said, you know, Happy Mother's Day to his mom. And I said, in Ukraine, what is it? She goes, well, this is actually, it's Women's Day. Ours, Mother's Day, is back in March. But I think it's really cool that around the world, there's celebrations that happen and days, you know, and I think Guatemala for years, we went there. They had Mother's Day, but it was a different day. But it just those things that we choose to honor and say, these are important things that we get to honor. And so I want to do that. Though my mom has passed, you won't believe this, but every one of us would not be here without a mom. What? Everyone, whether you know your mom or what kind of relationship you have, every single one of us has a mom, and so we're immediately bonded. We have a common place to start in that place. You know, I think I want to honor whether moms or grandmothers or great-grandmothers. I don't know if we have great-great, but it can happen that you know a few people that get to enjoy. I just was enjoying Jerry's great-grandson as his wife Candace got to hold this little tiny newborn baby in the hospital. That was so precious to see their little lips and ears and fingers, that there's a joy, you know, that you can't relate to unless you're a mom. And so, of course, I can't relate. I can only hear the stories, but I celebrate the meaning, the impact that moms have. And I think about, you know, mothers came as God's design from the beginning of creation. God designed there to be moms. Genesis 1, you know, go back to the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created moms, male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. From the beginning, God designed there to be moms for the creation of families, for the creation of fruitfulness. God designed for there to be moms. And of course, dads, and like my, as I said Happy Mother's Day to my wife this morning, the first thing, I always see if I can remember the first thing, what I should say. And the Lord reminded me, it's Mother's Day. Say Happy Mother's Day. And she thanked me. She thanked me for making her a mom. I thought it was Happy Mother's Day, but she turned it into a compliment to me. And I was like, well, I guess you're right. I did have a part in that. I'm sorry, that was a PG. Hopefully all the kids went to, well, hopefully they've had that conversation, so that wasn't too PG. But I think of that enjoyment of creation, that as we understand, I love springtime, and I know I'm getting old because I love spring. I didn't even know there used to be kinds of flowers, and now I know there's kinds of flowers and that they come out in the springtime, and I just love it. You know, I was telling my wife, went to saw some red rhododendrons yesterday, and I said, oh, why can't we have any red ones? She said, well, because I got rid of them. I don't like the red ones. Like, as I said, we all have all purple ones. She goes, I know, I love purple. We have all purple ones, but I just think the colors that we have, a creation to have, and to enjoy the green. Do you guys know, do you guys love Oregon? It is green and beautiful. We drove in the country this last week, and the green, it's almost like a calendar picture of seeing the horses standing there in the green valley and the blue sky. I was just like stunned. I'm like, this is gorgeous. And appreciate the flowers and the things that are coming up. And we just had our irises come out. I have a technical term for irises. I call them hanky flowers. If you know what an iris is, it kind of comes down like a handkerchief. And we have purple ones, and we see which ones, and an azalea. Look, I just want you to know what you've just experienced there is the breadth and depth of my horticulture. I just knew that. The orange is azalea, and the different colors they are, to enjoy those things. I think as we enjoy creation, all of creation, from little babies that are born to plants that are doing it, and the eagles that fly over behind our house. And different than a turkey vulture, by the way. A lot of those that cruise the thermals. But just this last week, I heard some girls playing, our little neighbor girls playing next door, and I heard some noise from up in the tree, cherry tree, and this girl is probably only second or third grade. Something my little stereotypical would be something my boys would have done. She's up literally 30 feet in the air, and we have a fence that has some pokey sticks on it. I'm like, don't fall, please. Don't fall. Hang on tight. And she's got these little rings that she's hanging up there. And I just was like, wow, what incredible personality that God has created. Personality of not only flowers and things that grow, but of people. The preciousness of that. As we appreciate them, the more we appreciate who God is and what He's created, the more that we actually can have intimacy with Him. And praise Him, just like that song we sing, gratitude. Man, all I could do is just sing a hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it can start just as simple as that. Just enjoy God's creation is really, and as some of you, I've heard people talk about, yeah, my church is well out there when I'm hunting. And I get it, because there's nothing about the stillness and the beauty of God's creation that we get to worship God. I praise You. For moms, that God created in whose image? In His image. Amazing, amazing. We get to worship the Lord. Mothers, made in the image of God. Made uniquely to reflect who God is. As I think about who God is, and I think of, like God, mothers give unnoticed love. I read in Hosea chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. God describes mothers who love their children even though they're not aware of it. And I'm thinking, that sounds like a mom. It was I who brought Ephraim, taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they did not realize it. It was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them. Just that unrealized, you know, that you don't know how much your mom loved you until you love your own children. You don't understand that look that they gave you, that you're just like, hey, what's going on? What, I got something on my face or what? Why you got that goofy look at me? Until you give your kids the goofy look. It's like, I love you. I love you. God loves us. And as moms give that love unnoticed, she's reflecting the God who created her. And like God, a mother's care is ferocious. And Hosea chapter 13, verse 8, like a bear robbed of her cubs, I will attack them and rip them open. There's some moms, don't mess with their kids. They'll rip you a new one, right? As I don't mess with my kid. You know, you want to see a mom come out with, you know, in the old days, the apron and the rolling pin. You know, he's going to take you out. Don't be messing with my little Johnny or Susie. You know, I'm going to take you out. And I just think that that reflects how much God loves us. Like God, moms have a ferocious care for their children. And like God, mothers encourage maturity. We read in Deuteronomy 32, God describes as a mother eagle pushing their young out. Can you imagine that feeling? I've never been an eaglet. But I'm thinking that would be freaky. Eagles, build their nest high in the clefts of rocks and then say, okay, honey, it's time to grow up. Like, what are you talking about? It's warm and comfortable here. Look, my mouth is open. I'm waiting for you to feed me. It's like, boom, get kicked out. What a terrible thing. But the mom cares about is that if I don't kick you out, you're not going to grow. You're not going to learn what you need to learn. Like God, moms care about the maturity of the kid. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them aloft. Both those two things that go hand in hand is, you carry me up so you can drop me? What's up with that? You know, it's those things like, I thought you loved me. Well, how come this hurts? Because a mom loves and cares about what's to come. About they don't want that eagle. There's not enough room in the nest for both of them, right? It's time to move. And like God, mothers comfort their children. Isaiah 66:13. God as a comfort mother, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted over Jerusalem. I think the comforting of listening, comfort of compassion, comfort of touch, comfort of provision, comfort physical and emotional, that place of comforting, it just always astounds me as my kids got injured. Who did they run to?
Mom.
Not the dad, but the mom. And I even practiced some very caring attitudes. And it just wasn't the same. As my kids are saying, yeah, you're just doing that because you're trying to be like mom, but you ain't the mom. You know, I think that old silly dinosaur movie, for a little while, didn't last long, probably because I liked it. But the little baby called the daddy dinosaur, not the mama. He's like, not the mama. And that's my kids. You're not the mama. In fact, my kids, if I misbehaved, they would tell me that they're going to go tell mom. What's up with that? I'm the dad. He goes, I'm going to tell mom what you did. He's like, they knew that they were going to be comforted and cared for. And like God, mothers provide a place of contentment. Psalms 131. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me. But I have calmed and quieted myself. I'm like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I'm content. A place of care that you can kind of climb up, and I'm not sure what age it is, but you know that it doesn't ever stop. As a mom cares, that place of contentment that I just have, I'm cared for. I have my provision. It's a place that I can be still. It's a place I can be held. It's a place I don't have to perform. It's a place I can just be who I am. That picture of a child who's been fully satisfied, has been fed, been clothed, is warm, is provided for. There's nothing sweeter than that place of rest. That God provides a place that we can be content. And like God, mothers provide and designed in the image of God. I just want you to grab a hold of that. In the image of God, that we were created. That there's nothing more difficult than to try to parent, have single home parent, whether it's a dad or a mom. You just don't got it. It takes both, because there's personality that God designed in men and women to love and to parent and to encourage. God is amazing place of providing the reflective His, the intelligence, the creativity, all of those attributes that we just talked about, who God is. In His image, He created moms. In His image, He created moms. And as I thought through about moms today, and the challenge of being a mom, I think it's really good. I think in our culture, we've discounted women. And I see that in our culture. I see that You know, back in the day, my sister we were missionaries in Venezuela, and she's 6 years older than I am. And so she's our oldest sibling, and she was a good in athletics, and she played basketball in Venezuela where we were missions. And as a 13-year-old, she got to go to Venezuela's state championship basketball tournament. And they a traveling team that her and one other missionary kid girl got to be on with the Venezuelans, and they became state championships. I remember traveling to the capital of our state and in Venezuela and celebrating, and she went from the pinnacle of that kind of attention, and at that point, not too long after, we moved back to the States, where girls were not allowed to play in the gymnasium. She went from being a state champion, being on the radio and interviewed, to coming to the States where girls were not allowed to play basketball on the real court, because that's just where the boys. So we see the dysfunction of our society, and I say, great. I said, we want to say, hey, that women are valued, equally valued, made in God's image, and shame on us for the disrespect that we've treated women with. Whether it's same job, same pay kind of stuff. But I find it interesting as you look at the dysfunction of our society, when we don't look to God for identity, things get messed up. Oh, yeah. I think about just finding our identity. What does it need to be based on? From the beginning of the world, Satan came in and said, hey, did God really say? That's his question of identity. Did God really say, can you really trust this God? Can you trust this God? And how we answer that question will determine where we find our identity. That identity, that place of solidness, of courage, of confidence. It's like, no, this is who I am. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you tempt me with. I'm not doing that. That isn't who I am. That's not what I'm called to be. That's so critical as we look to the Bible, tells us that our identity is in who? In Christ. In Christ Jesus alone. Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and said, hey, we're going to go find our own identity, it's not in you, God. We're going to go as Satan tempted them, and they fell into that saying, hey, you don't have your identity unless you go get it yourself. When you put your faith in Christ, you discover that you belong. You belong. You don't have to look for a place to belong. You belong. There's difference in people. You can just see it in their attitudes. When somebody comes in confident of who they are and who they're called to be, they're not easily swayed. You see it in their posture. You see it in how they answer questions. We have the privilege of having a young 16-year-old exchange student I've met from Denmark. And she was probably one of the most confident person. And a way to say that is, she is super comfortable in her own skin. More comfortable than I am. And I was like, wow, what a unique thing to be not manipulated, to not be swayed. Causes her to be kind and thoughtful, funny. Not, you can say something, you know how you can, some people, you can say something and they think it's about them and they get defensive. That's somebody who's not secure in their identity. With her and somebody like that, you can say things and they never think it's about them. They will laugh with you. They'll enjoy, even if you intend it to be about them because you're mean and your own suffering identity, they don't take it that way. They laugh and they think pot in their heads, but that guy doesn't have his identity straightened out. But I think about who, when we belong, I love what Ephesians says, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You belong. Not only do you belong, but you measure up. You don't have to have a career. You don't have to perform better than anybody else. You don't have to be a mom and something else. You don't have to have a career and be a mom. You measure up. Why? Because God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God. I love it. For me, that was huge. It just recognizing that I struggle with my identity of not measuring up. Performance is my temptation. And the realization I came is that Jesus qualifies me. What he did on the cross qualifies me. I don't have to try to pass the test or get an A or be better than anybody else. Why? Because I've already been accepted. I've already been accepted into the letter has come. I've been accepted in the program, into the kingdom of God because of what Jesus has done. You belong, you measure up, and you are loved. You matter. You're valued. You're fully accepted as children of God. You are loved. There's nothing that you can do to get rid of that love. That's a profound thought. Because some of us grow up in a performance-based home that where love is given and taken away. Mommy's not going to love you if you do that. Daddy's not going to whatever if you don't. Why? That's teaching performance. God doesn't say that. He says, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. To recognize that you're loved, to be confident in that place. And it doesn't matter that people don't recognize it. You know what family you're part of. You know who your brother is. Your brother is the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. To have your identity, find your identity is know that you have all you need to be satisfied and fruitful in everything that God has called you to. Not in everything that God has called somebody else to, but everything that God has called you to. That you can say, no, this is what I was created for. God is able, 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all, you get that word? All that you need, you will abound in some good work? No, in every good work. God is the only one allowed to do words, all-inclusive words. Right, we try that sometimes. You always, you never. Doesn't work. God can say that, and it's true. He always is faithful. He is always loving. He is always blessing. Finding your identity is to know you have a purpose. Because you can go through life looking like, where do I fit in? What matters? What doesn't? Because you know if you look in the world, you'll find some friends that maybe say you have a purpose, see you're gifted, but that changes. That changes. It's fickle at best. To know, and like Ephesians 2:10 says, that we are God's handiwork. We're God's poem. We're God's tapestry. We're God's artwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared for us. God planned for us. I think of new parents, whether it's a new somebody getting married, they're planning where they're going to live. They're planning how many bedrooms. They're planning what it's going to be decorated like. They're planning the jobs that they're going to have. They're going to plan who's going to do what. Hopefully, they start to talk about that. As you see new moms, you always crack up because as genders became the popularity, right, to gender reveal parties, that then they want to know, I need to know how to decorate the baby's room. Do I do pink or do blue? They have to know just how to decorate it. Because why? They're preparing for this little guy to come home. And I think thankfully, the bassinet in the bedroom did not stay there long. we moved that little cute kids down the hallway. So they had to scream long and hard before they got a visit to know that something did need to get changed or fed. But you think of just the glory of just that preparation, that God prepared the room for us. He prepared what we were going to do. He prepared the gifts that he said, I want them to do this, so I'm going to gift them in this way with my spirit to accomplish these things. To recognize that every single one of us, to be created in God's image, is to have a specific purpose, an identity that can only be found in knowing and honoring God. What does our value come from? What is it that makes you and I important? What is it that makes moms important? Because it's that realization that our value and our importance has to come from God. Because if we think our importance comes from our job, it'll be dissatisfying. If we think it comes from reputation, people will think you're great one week and not so great the next. You'll be on a roller coaster. As we establish our value and our importance from God, we can know that right out the chute, we have value. We can know that without a doubt, because that old saying, God don't make no junk, is God Himself, for us to value ourselves, for us to value our neighbor, for us to value every single person, is to value God. Because why? Every single human being is made like who? Like God. He's made in God's image. So for me to love my neighbor is to love who? Is to love God. I love that. I'm doing a... my wife and I signed up for Kyle's Not a Fan life group. And one of the questions was, and just reflecting, is like, who are you tempted to love something like that instead of the Lord? And that was a real easy question for me to answer. Who am I tempted to love more than the Lord? Me. My time, my money, my comfort, my priorities. I just was like, hey, and the revelation, as I thought about it, is one of the things Paul talks about loving our wives. He says to love your wife is to love who? To love yourself. And the epiphany happened this morning as I did in my quiet time. I was like, who else am I in a marriage relationship with? And I know this might sound weird if you didn't grow up around the church, but Jesus is described as the bride, and His church is described as, Jesus is described as the groom, and the church, body of believers, is described as the bride. For me to love Jesus is to love myself. I was like, I don't know about you, but I think I care about what happens to me. And part of that faith walk is to say, you know what, for me to love Jesus is to care about what happens to me. Because as I care about what He cares about, what I care about His priorities, what I care about what He tells me to do, because He loves me, it will take care of me. I was like, oh, Lord, You're so good. As we find our identity, it's not going to be anywhere else but in Christ alone that we get to enjoy Him. We get to know Him. We get to love Him, to get our value from Him. The world wants to detract from our value. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about marketing. That every single ad that you have out there, especially nowadays, has to do with value. If you have their product, go this place, then you will have arrived. But that's what they're selling, right? from the beginning of time, is that if you will do these things, wear these things, look like this, then you will have value. Where Jesus is saying, God's invitation to us is, come and look like me. Then you'll have value. All the places that get detracted, the world says that you have to be something more than just a mom. You got to be on, you know, work in your kids' classroom. You got to have all the kids over your house. You have to have a clean house. You have to be a designer. You know, you have to be an amazing psychologist. Then it goes on beyond that. You not only have to be an amazing mom, but you have to be like amazing looking mom. It's just like overwhelming that mom, being a mom is not enough. That you have to have a career too. That the world wants to say that then you will have value. And to me, I think that that's where we've gone in this thing where the disrespect of women has swung the other way. Where now women don't measure up unless they can build a house too. Unless they can do everything else that a guy does, then they will matter. It's just always, you always can tell things that get out of balance because somebody is trying to be like somebody else. That's when you can tell that the identity is in comparison, not in who God created them to be. It's important as we walk out our lives that our identity has to come from Christ, and that includes mom. And the flip side's just the coin, you know, flip the coins. The other side is that moms would feel either sheepish in saying, I'm an at-home mom. I was trying to think about it and say that, hey, what do you do? I'm in charge of a future generation. I'm developing what the world is going to look like. What are you doing? Oh, you're just a vice president at a corporation? That's all? I'm creating a future generation. What I'm doing is going to determine life and death. To say that in such a way that you recognize that your identity is in Christ and your assignment has been created since the beginning of time. The flip side of that coin is somebody would feel guilty that they're working. They know that their role is, they want to be a mom, they want to be with their kids all day, and yet they have to work. Yeah, I have to work. The world say that somehow in some circles, right, you can go the other way, that somehow you're less than if you have to work to make ends meet. We have to start with our identity is in Christ alone. Then what we do is got to be a reflection of that. To be confident in who we are. Mothers are valuable because God made them and they bear His likeness. Thank you, moms. Thank you, moms. I was looking for just the world's understanding of moms, and I ran across Psychology Today. 10 reasons, 10 of the many reasons, obviously, that moms are important. And I was super curious what I was going to find. This list was put together by Dr. Barton Goldsmith, and he identified those 10 things, and I was amazed at reading through this list, secular magazine, secular publication, Psychology Today, how they reflected all that we've been talking about. The number one reason is moms gave you life. I love that. You know, it's like, hey, honey, you need to do what I say. You know I gave you life and I can take it away from you. That's amazing. Miracle of gift of life, breathing. And just, if nothing more than that, mom, thanks for giving me life. Thanks for giving me life. Thanks for allowing me to live and breathe and enjoy the world I live in. The second one is he talks about moms are important because they're emotionally engaged. Mothers are the emotional backbones of a family. You know, where us guys are I'm way more sensitive than the average guy, just to let you know. I've got a clue. And just me saying that proves that I don't. But I just, that we talked about just where the kids run to. They run to mom because they're tuned in. They love their kids. Mothers provide that holding place for everyone's feelings and do their best to keep us from being hurt. They ask reflective questions like, do you think that was the best thing for you to do? Do you think that friend cares about you? Do you think they love you? Mel, honey, that hurts terribly, doesn't it? That is the most, I bet you feel awful. I bet that really hurt you when they said that to you. Those kind of things that moms are geared to be aware of, made in whose image? Made in God's image. Moms, they're compassionate. Who would kiss your boo-boos if your mom didn't? Who wouldn't put on the Band-Aid? I'm reflecting again, as we have grandkids in the house, we have to have multiple boxes of Band-Aids. Because whenever they get hurt, you got to put a Band-Aid on it. And so we got, you know, superhero Band-Aids. We got, you know, comic character Band-Aids. And that's the pride. And me, I'm like, there's nothing wrong. Just dust it off. Jackie's like, oh, come here. Let's wash it. You know, let's kiss it. Do you need a Band-Aid? Uh-huh. Those things, compassionate. It has nothing to do with the guy's sense, with reality. It has to do with their little souls, with their little hearts, with their little personalities. Made in whose image? Made in God's image. And moms are sacrificing. Our mothers worked hard and made sacrifices so our lives would be better. There aren't a lot of people willing to do that. To sacrifice for your kids, those sleepless nights, the putting aside their priorities, their desires. Me, I had a project to do, and my kids wanted to go play. Guess what? It was a project day. And my wife would always, you want the yes answer? Go to mom. You want to go to no answer? Come to dad. She would arrange her schedule and time to sacrifice for the kids. I think, who else was that like? Right? The Lord Jesus, who didn't think hanging on to heaven was going to hang on to heaven. He gave that up so that he could sacrifice for us. And moms are forgiving. Don't you think this is fascinating? Secular psychology. Recognizing the importance of forgiveness. Mothers are forgiving, so forgive her in return. Perhaps nothing will be more valuable to both of you than forgiveness. Open your heart and drop your resentment, because some of us have been hurt by our moms. Some relationships are broken that have not had a conversation with your mom for 5 years or more. That the Lord would come and say, would you just forgive them? Would you forgive them for being imperfect just like you? Forgiveness. And moms, importantly, support your dreams. When you want to climb that tallest mountain, your mother will make your lunch for you. I love that. She'll be the one that will support your dreams when no one else will. And still remind you to change your underwear before you go to rescue the world. I love that. Just I remember I was an old guy, but I think I was 40 years old, 42 years old, when I decided that it was time to go to seminary. And I told my wife, I told my pastor that same day, and guess who I called? My mom. Because I knew what she would say to me would be proud of me, would be encouraging of me. It would be, oh, honey, that is so good. Honey, that is so wonderful. Not, how are you going to pay for it? I was like, what are you thinking? What did everybody else say? No, she just let me be me and share my dream with her. That's so important to have that place, that sounding block that always is supportive. You want to ask for just an accurate success, analytical measure of success, go ask dad. It's like, what are you thinking? That'll never happen. You ask mom, just loves you, supports you in your dreams. Can you imagine? That reflects who? God. That he doesn't tell us all the reasons why things won't work out. He's just happy that we love him. He wants to encourage us to be successful. Because in that process of discovering those adventures, we discover who we are. We discover what we're good at, what we're not at. We discover that we need help. And then we can ask God for that help. And moms, set boundaries. Her boundaries make you a better person. You may not have liked some of her decisions when she said, no, I'm not going to let you do that. But she cared about you when she said, I don't think it's good that you go to that party. That's not a good place for you to be. Look at some of your friends without a mom. They missed out on that kind of care. Boundaries. Sometimes I can remember not wanting to ask because I didn't want to hear the answer. And that happens with our relationship with the Lord too sometimes. Because we want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. I'm not going to ask. It's a lot better to ask forgiveness afterwards than to ask permission before. And recognize that God loves us. He sets boundaries for our benefit, for our protection. Moms, do that. Thank you, moms, that you care so much about us. Number 8, moms watch out for us. They watch out for you. Mothers, ears and eyes see everything. What's that saying? Moms, they have eyes where? On the back of their head. We all get that. It's like, I remember Jackie, we'd be talking and she'd stop our conversation and zone in and hear the kids in the bedroom say something. I said, honey, don't talk like that to your sister. Or you need to be kind, or that's not wise, or she would just get up and walk in. She could hear and see things. And the kids, our kids even commented, how did you do that? Is it that intuitive care that the Lord cares about and sees every little thing? I think about the things that the Lord has watched out for me that I didn't even know it's dangerous. I think of the stuff that He saved me from that I didn't even know where it would have led. And I think about even today, think about where that choice would have made had God not blocked the way or asked me not the second time, but the third time, but the fourth time. Are you sure you want to do that? Are you sure you want to do that? I was listening this last week, spent some time with my friend Paul Dickinson as we enjoyed some fellowship in the ER room, the hospital, which is a very quick 8 hours. And one of the stories I got, Paul reminded me of, years ago, he got badly injured helping somebody with their car. He loves cars. And he stopped at the side of the road, and I can't remember all the details, but he was helping somebody with their car, and it required him, it was in the evening where you can't see well, and he heard a voice say, call a tow truck. And he had, I can fix this. And so he began to help this person, and he heard it again, get some help. And as he crawled underneath the car, he heard it again say, you should not be doing this. Several minutes later, somebody plowed into the back of the car, and he almost got his arm ripped off. I say almost, it got ripped off, nerves and everything, could not feel for 6 months or so longer, and the Lord restored it. But you can imagine the 6 months, I am going to lose my arm because I did not listen. I just was reminded that he told me, he said, 3 times I'm thinking, what? I said, I bet you listened the first time now. Well, the Lord says, don't lean over on the ladder like that. go get help, move the ladder, whatever. Don't say that. Don't go that way. That you pay attention. That you listen. There's a God who watches out for us. And number 9, helps us mature. Mom taught you to be a functioning adult, and maybe still teaching you to be a functioning adult. That was her job. And without it, making it to the modern world would be very hard. Your mom may have forced you to do what you didn't want to do, but now you see the importance of it. I always love, I tell the story of my son whose freshman year, oldest son, went off to college, and 3 months into living in the dorms, he sent his mom and I an email saying, "Thank you for the way you raised us. Thank you for the way you raised me." And I don't think he went into a lot of detail, but we asked him about it later, but he saw the difference in comparison, the stuff that he gave us grief for. And all of our kids gave us grief for the stuff we required and repeated and put boundaries on. They said, "Thank you. Thank you that you helped us become the adults that you came, that you cared about us." I can remember with my own mom. If you ever met mom, she's the sweetest lady. You would never think she'd ever say anything mean or unkind. But I remember I was a third of five children, and I'd moved out of the house. It was after I got out of college and got a job and moved into some roommates, and my roommates went off and got married. And so as the wedding day approached and they were moving out and finding their own place to live, I was like, I'm sure it's going to open up. And I remember talking to friends and trying to figure out where I was going to live. I said, "Mom, Dad, it's not looking like I can find a place. Is it okay if I move back home?" And to my surprise and my, at the moment, disappointment, I could not believe what came out of my mom's mouth. In her sweetest voice, said, "No, honey, you can't move back home. Once you move out, you can't move back home." I was like, who took over my mom? But in that moment that she told me that I couldn't move back home, I knew in my heart that it was the right answer. There was a little bit more to that story. And she explained, "Honey, I love you." He says, "But you have your younger brother and sister living at home. And they're a little more than your dad and I can handle right now. We don't need another person." And so I blame it on my sister and brother for why I couldn't move home. But that was so hard. It was about her caring about my maturity. Her caring about that I, guess what? I'm an adult. I need to figure this out on my own. And I did. God opened up the door, but it was so good because from that point on time, I never to my parents to take care of me. I never depended on them. And what it did, it taught me to depend on who? Hopefully, depend on the Lord. To think of relationships and always thinking, hey, who do I want to live with? Who don't I want to live with? God opened up the door. Moms, help us mature. And lastly, moms love you. They love you. A mother's smile, when it's directed towards you, makes your day a whole lot better. All she needs is to know that she helped you. Mom, I know, and I thanked her multiple times as I got older. I always laugh at that. The older you get, the more you appreciate your parents. Actually, you know that old saying, right? Was that the older you get, the smarter your parents get, right? But it's I even now, as I get older, there's questions I wished I would have said, asked my parents. There's things that I'm aware of that I would thank them for that I didn't because I wasn't aware. Now I get some stuff that I didn't get then. Moms are super important. And that's an understatement. God made moms. We celebrate moms that we have. And it isn't about just your mom, but it could be your foster mom. It could be your den mother. It could be the neighborhood mom. It could be your friend's mom. That same heart that God put in them gets reflected in how they treat you. I loved going over houses that there were moms home because they had the best cookies. I got to stay for dinner sometimes. You know, my friends would give me grief and tell me, it's like, my mom likes you better than she does me. It's like, and you, those stories, you go home and you hear these stories about your kids, and it's like, how come they can't act like that at home? Like, you kiss up to your friend's mom, but you don't treat me like that. Moms, they impact us. They love us. They form us. Why? Because they were made in the image of God. Will you just celebrate moms right now? Lord, woo-hoo! We thank you, Father. We thank you for moms. We thank you for moms. We have some after you when you leave. You moms and young moms, old moms, women, in honor of moms. We have some for every woman here. We have gifts that Melissa and Jackie have put together for you guys as you leave, to make sure that you got them, because we can't use them here. We need to want to bless you for those. So thank you so much, Melissa and Jackie, for putting those together to honor moms. I want to say one last thing. As we come down to the end of service, we want to give opportunity to pray for people. And so we have our little prayer station here at the side, just to kind of remind us. We have some anointing oil there. But earlier, Pat Wilson gave a word. And I know that might be peculiar to some of you who aren't been in Pentecostal churches. She did something unusual, was she gave a word in tongues. And what was unusual, maybe not from that aspect, tongues might be new to you. It's a spiritual language that the Lord gives us by His Holy Spirit. It's one that to me reflects a dependence on something supernatural. But the second aspect was that she gave the interpretation herself. And usually there's somebody else. But we want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to what He's given. And the word she gave, ironically, if some of you may or may not remember, but it was a verse that I read last week, talking about Jesus the Savior, and that scripture that Jesus fulfilled in being anointed by the Lord to bring freedom to the oppressed and freedom from prison and oppression and healing, that, as Pat reflected, that believes that that's for the church today. And whether you realize it or not, part of that faith is you recognize your own brokenness, whether you feel like you're a terrible mom, or whether you had a terrible mom, or you are in pain for another friend, that God wants to heal those situations. God wants to touch your heart and your mind. And so as Pat shared, she goes, that was a word I gave, but that was not the end of it. That God wants to do a healing in people today. And so I want to invite you, as we sing this last worship song, that as you lay yourself before the Lord, that welcome you to come forward, to maybe come and pray with somebody after service, but to acknowledge that God wants to touch your life and your heart.